Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Mem Beis, and we are learning today Leilu Nishmas Lilka Finkelstein, Lina Bas Tzvi Halevi, whose yard site was July 31st, I just found out, and also Rose Beck, Rivka Bas Aaron David, whose yard site was August 6th, which I also just found out. Mitzvah Shem, our learning should be an aliyah for all the neshamas that we're learning for. So we begin on Mem Beis, Amen Aleph. We are at the words Omar Rav Huna, which is found about 7-8 lines down from the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Omar Rav Huna, Rav Huna says, Omar Haya Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi said the following din, Ola Sa'of Shinim Tzeis Bein Agafayim. If you find an Ola Sa'of that is found Bein Agafayim, the two possible explanations of Bein Agafayim, Rashi says that this means the wings of the bird, and therefore it means the birds. In other words, if you find an Ola Sa'of which is not allowed to be eaten, that is not something of the bird offerings that's eaten by the Kohanim, only a chatas is able to be eaten by the Kohanim, and you find this olas oath that somehow got mixed up and was found and thought to be a chatas oath, which is allowed to be eaten. Rashi points out that normally the olas oath is shechted in a certain place on the southeastern border, and the chatas oath is normally shechted on the southwest border, on the corner that's the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. Now, a Chatas Ov is different than a Chatas Behema. A Chatas Ov is below the Chutas Sikra. A Chatas Behema is above the Chutas Sikra. So, you normally find eligible to be eaten bird offerings on the southwest corner on the bottom. But, in an overflow situation, they also would shecht the Olas Ov on the southwest corner, but above, on the top, above the Chutas Sikra. But somehow, this bird that was shechted on the top as an Olas Ov somehow got mixed in with the birds at the bottom, and it was mistakenly thought by the Kohen to be an eligible to be eaten Chatas Ov when it really was an Olas Ov. So Rav Huna says in the name of Rav Yossi that in this situation, if the Kohanim were to have eaten mistakenly this Olas Ov that was found Bein Agafayim, some say the Agafayim means they're just the corners of the Mizbeach as opposed to the wings of the bird. In any event, it means the same thing. It somehow got mixed in the wrong place. Ukisavru Chatas Ov hi va'achola, and the Kohen thought mistakenly that it was a Chatas Ov which can be eaten, and he ate it. So then in this situation, if you normally were to eat a Olas Ov, you'd be chayav a carbon because you're eating something, you'd be chayav me'ila, that you ate something you weren't allowed to be eaten. In this situation, it would be potter. You wouldn't be chayav to bring a carbon asham me'ila. Now, this is very consistent with what Rav Yossi said yesterday, Shia, that if a person went and carried the lulav and esrog on Shabbos, and he was doing this to fulfill the mitzvah, he wasn't yet yotzei the mitzvah, so Rav Yossi had said that you're potter from carbon chatas in that situation. So this is the same din, and the Gemara says, Michael Mashalon, what is Rav Huna teaching us? This was Rav Yossi's shita, that if you're osek in the mitzvah, you haven't yet done the mitzvah, so then you're potter from a chatas because you have, so to say, a heter to do what you did. You were trying to fulfill a mitzvah, and therefore you're potter from a chatas yesterday, so you'd be potter from the ashamila today. What's the chiddush? Why is Rav Huna telling us this? Michael Mashalon, the Torah of our mitzvah potter, if you're teaching us that if a person makes a mistake while he's doing a dvar mitzvah, that he's part of being a chatus, so then that's the same thing over here. Hainuach, it's the same thing. What is Rav Huna's chiddush? So he says, no, there's a big chiddush over here. In yesterday's Gemara, you were yotzei a mitzvah. Here today, you're not yotzei a mitzvah. Mal detema, I might have said, hasam hu detob dvar mitzvah potter, since when you're carrying the lulav, you're going to go and carry the lulav to go and fulfill the mitzvah. So therefore, what you're doing is involved in doing a mitzvah, Hainu, the Avad mitzvah, and therefore that's why you're potter from a chatas. But here, in this situation, there is no mitzvah to eat this Olas Ov. You're not allowed to eat the Olas Ov. You mistakenly thought it was a chatas Ov. You mistakenly thought you're doing a mitzvah. Halacha, the Torah b'dvar mitzvah, the lo Avad mitzvah, but you didn't end up doing a mitzvah. So I might have thought that maybe Rav Yossi doesn't say in this situation that you'd be potter from the Asha Me'ila. Emalo, Kamash Mulan, therefore the Chiddush that Rav Huna is telling us is even in this situation where you didn't do a mitzvah, nevertheless, since you thought you were doing a mitzvah, Rav Yossi would say that you're potter from being in the Asha Me'ila. Really, the Gemara says, is this true? Meisve. But I'll show you that that's not correct. We have a braisa where Rav Yossi says otherwise. Rav Yossi Omer, in the following scenario, where somebody goes, Hashochet es ha-tamid she'eno mevukar, kehilchoso b'shabes, if somebody goes and shechs a carbon tamid that wasn't properly checked to make sure that it doesn't have blemishes. And before I should point out, even if it subsequently was found not to have a blemish, this doesn't change the halacha around. You're mechuyev to go and check And therefore, in this situation, even though you're performing a mitzvah of bringing the korban tamid, but you're doing it with something that wasn't allowed to be shechted on Shabbos because it wasn't checked, even though you're allowed to go bring the korban tamid on Shabbos because it's a time-dependent korban, and that is doche Shabbos, but you're only allowed to bring a checked korban tamid on Shabbos. So this was an unchecked korban tamid that you're not allowed to bring on Shabbos. So Rav Yossi says, even though you're doing the mitzvah of bringing the korban tamid, chayiv chatas, you have to go bring a korban chatas for shechting inadvertently on Shabbos, and not only that, but tzarech tamid acher, and you have to go bring another carbon tamid because you weren't yotzi with this non-mevukar carbon tamid. So therefore, here you see that the person thought he was performing a mitzvah, and yet in this situation, he is chayv chatas. So how is this any different than the case of the person thought he was maybe eating a carbon chatas, olas chatas o'op, but he really was an olas o'op, and he didn't perform a mitzvah. So why, by the Asha Me'ila, does Rav Yossi say that you're not obligated? And here, by the chatas for bringing the korban tamid on Shabbos that you weren't allowed to go and bring because it wasn't mevukar, you are chayiv of korban chatas. Ergo, it must be the Rav Huna is wrong. So one says, no, Rav Huna is right. Amalei, the Gemara would say that bar mina dahi, except for this case. This case of the korban tamid is the exception that proves the rule. The rule is that, according to Rav Yossi, if you think you're doing a mitzvah and you haven't yet done the mitzvah, so then you're potter for bringing the chatas, you're potter for bringing the Asha Me'ilah. Why over here by the korban chatas are you chayiv? Because this case is different. Oh, it's my law. We said about this brisa that Amar Rav Shmuel bar Chitai. Chitai is the name of a Talmud Chacham. So Rav Shmuel was the son of Chitai. Amar Rav Amnuna, who said the name of Amnuna Saba, who said Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Ashayon, Amar Rav Huna bar Amar Rav. They all said it ultimately in the name of Rav. That this case is talking about kagon sheviyo milishka she'ena mivukarin. You brought it from a lishka, from a office, a chamber that was not containing within it checked sheep. So therefore, that is absolutely forbidden to do. You can't say that you were tor b'dvar mitzvah. That is totally not allowed. And therefore, if it's a malishka she'enim avukarin, Rashi said, the ain's a tor b'dvar mitzvah. This is not called tor b'dvar mitzvah. Because tloyim shebalishka zu eino torud she'eno omdim lihakrova. Because the animals in this corral, in this lishka, were not allowed to be brought as a korban tamid. And therefore, you can't say I'm torid in the mitzvah because this place is verboten. This place is off limits to bringing korbanos. And therefore, it's just a mistake. And for a mistake, you are kaya a korban chatas. So therefore, this is the exception that proves the rule. And therefore, this is not a stira to what Rav Huna said is Rav Yossi's shita. This, in fact, proves the rule that if you're tor b'dvar mitzvah, and you really think you're doing a dvar mitzvah, so that even though you're not doing a dvar mitzvah, you're still potter for bringing the korban Asha Me'ilah, for example, in our case, or even when you did the dvar mitzvah by bringing the lulav and esrog, you're certainly potter from the chiyuv of the chatas. But here, you weren't allowed to go bring from this lishka, so you can't say that he's torud b'dvar mitzvah, and that's why in this situation, if you inadvertently brought it, you would be chayiv a chatas. That concludes the sugya, and we go on to the next Mishnah. Mishnah tells us that a woman is allowed to go and take the lulav and esrog from her husband or from her son and go put it back in water on Shabbos. Mekabelas isha miyad binoa umiyad ba'ala umachaziroso lamayim b'Shabbos. They used to put the lulav and esrog in water in order to keep it fresh. Many people still do that today. They put the lulav and the hadasim, the aravos, or just some people put the hadasim, the aravos in either a towel or a cloth that's soaked with water, or they put it actually in a vase of some sort to keep it fresh. So fine. So we had mentioned this previously. This causes the esrog to potentially get wet by water, and that makes it moshel kabel tumah. That's why we said that you shouldn't use an esrog that is an esrog of truma tahara or ma'aser sheni for that reason, according to one opinion, because you're making it moshel kabel tumah, and that's not a good thing. And this is why it could become moshel kabel tumah, because they used to keep their lulav hadasim and aravos wet or potentially wet, and that's why that concern was present. In any event, the woman who's not mechuyeves in the mitzvah of lulav and esrog because it's a time-dependent mitzvah, nevertheless, she's allowed to handle the lulav and esrog on yontif because it is not muktzah for her husband or her son, as we will see in a moment. So the woman is allowed to go take this, and even if it's on yontif or Shabbos, remember they used to take the lulav and esrog on Shabbos if Shabbos was the first day. Subsequently, we're going to learn in tomorrow's shia that we make a gzeira, shema yavirin dal amos. Maybe even at the end of today's shia, we'll get to it that we're concerned that maybe you'll go and carry a dal amos, so therefore we don't allow you to go and take it on Shabbos anymore nowadays. But they used to take it on Shabbos, so you'd be allowed to go put it back in the water on Shabbos. So machzir ol amayim b'Shabbos, even though for the woman, technically she doesn't need it, you might have thought it's muksa, it's not. Rav Yehuda adds, Rav Yehuda Omer, on Shabbos, when you're returning it, you're allowed to just return it to the water, machzirim, to the same water that you had previously. You can't go and add new water, and you certainly can't go and exchange the water. And the reason for this is, as Rashi says, shelo yichmosh, so it shouldn't wither, it shouldn't get ruined. On Yontif, when it's not Shabbos, then Mosifin, you'd even be allowed to go and add additional water. And on Chol HaMoed, or B'Moed, Machlifin, you'd even be allowed to go and totally switch around the water so you have nice fresh water, and the lulav, the hadasim, the aromas will stay nice and fresh. It's a mitzvah to go and make sure that they stay fresh. They shouldn't become withered. That would not be hadar. Finally, the Mishnah concludes and says, Koton hayodeh l'naneah, if a young child knows how to go and do the nanuim, then chayev b'lulav, then the father is obligated to make sure that he goes and takes a lulav and does the nanuim. Okay, Gemara starts off and says, Pshita, why would we think that a woman is not allowed to go and handle the lulav and esrog? So Gemara says, no, I had a havimin, which I already mentioned. Ma'u detema, I might have thought that since, ho'el, v'isha la bas chiyuvahi, emo lo tekabel, since the woman is not obligated, I might have thought that for her, it's something that's muktzah. Because l'maisa, today, when we don't take the lulav and esrog on Shabbos, the lulav and esrog are muktzah. Some say the esrog can be smelled, and therefore the esrog might not be muktzah. But certainly the lulav and esrog, if you're not going to use them on Shabbos, so there's the potential that they're muktzah. So the woman never has an obligation to use the lulav and esrog. Again, lemaisa, a woman is allowed to go take the lulav and esrog, and I would dare say that most women do accept upon themselves voluntarily to do this mitzvah, but they're not obligated because it is a mitzvah sesesh ma'agram. It's a time-dependent mitzvah, and therefore they're peturim. In any event, I might have thought that since a woman is not a bas chiyuva, she's not obligated in it, therefore she's actually not allowed to go and use it and move it because it's muktzah for her. Kamash v'lo, no. If something is not muktzah for her husband, so then by definition it's not muktzah for her. Then the Mishnah said that if katan zayodeh l'naneya, if a child is of an age that he knows to do the nanuim, he knows how to shake the lulav and esrog, chayev b'lulav. We said in the Mishnah that he has the obligation upon the father to go get him a lulav and esrog. Tana Rabban, we learned the Braisa, and here we'll have a whole bunch of dinim about young children, at what point you're supposed to inculcate them, educate them in the performance of mitzvos. So katan hayodeh l'naneya, if the child is old enough that he knows how to shake the lulav and esrog, so then chayev b'lulav, then the father has to teach him to go and take the lulav and esrog, to teach him how to do the actual taking and to do the nanuim. If the child is old enough, lisateh, to go and put on a talis katan or a four-cornered garment with tzitzis on it, so then, if the child is able to do so, so then chayev b'tzitzis, then the father is obligated to go and get the child a pair of tzitzis to wear. Likewise, if the child is old enough, lishmor tefillin, if the child knows how to properly take care of a pair of tefillin, now this doesn't mean just that he doesn't throw them, but it means, as Rashi says over here, shelo yichnos behem lebeis hakiseh, the child is old enough that he won't go into the bathroom with the tefillin on. And he's old enough to know also to make sure that he doesn't do inappropriate things while he's wearing the tefillin. So therefore, if the child is old enough to control his mind and his body when he's wearing the tefillin, so then, aviv lokeach lo tefillin, the father goes and purchases for him a pair of tefillin. The father gets him a pair of tefillin. Now, our minhag today is not to let a child do this. And some people are so machmir that they only let the child put on tefillin for the first time the day before his bar mitzvah, just to give him a chance to learn how to do it one time. Others do it a month before, some do it a little bit more before that, a little bit less before that, but we don't let a smart 10-year-old child put on tefillin, even though we let a smart 10-year-old child wear a talis katan. We teach him to shake lulav and esrog, we tell him to come to shul to listen to shofar blowing, but tefillin is different, because by tefillin we have a concept of yotza scharon behefseidan. The tefillin is such a difficult mitzvah to properly observe, to have the right mind frame while you're wearing the tefillin, not to talk silly things, not to have inappropriate bodily functions, or pass gas, etc., while you're wearing tefillin. To have your mind on the tefillin at all times, so therefore an adult male above the age of bar mitzvah who is obligated to put on tefillin, so we don't have a choice. And that's why many people don't wear tefillin all day long. There are some yechidim that do wear their tefillin all day long, like you technically should, but we've unfortunately reached a lower level of spirituality that we can't wear our tefillin. Most people can't wear their tefillin all day long, and therefore we only wear it for the davening. But Aruch HaShulchan says somebody who's not obligated shouldn't wear tefillin. That's why women don't wear tefillin, even though technically they could do other mitzvahs sesheshes ma'agrama. The Aruch HaShulchan says women should not wear tefillin. And that's why the minhag is that young children, even if they're smart and they understand the tefillin, we don't give a young child to wear tefillin until he's very, very close to the bar mitzvah, or he actually reaches the bar mitzvah. So we today have the difficulties of lishmor tefillin, so therefore we don't do this. But technically, at least in theory, if the child is old enough that he could watch the tefillin properly, so then all people can't wear tefillin. Fine. And likewise, yodeh ledaber, as soon as the child is old enough to be able to speak the first words, so then aviv lomdo Torah, the father teaches him Torah and to say kriya shema. Now the Gemara says, what does it mean to teach him Torah? Torah mayhi? So the Gemara says, aram nuna, teach him this fundamental principle of Torah tzivah lenu Moshe, that the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's an inheritance for all of Klal Yisrael. This is a special gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, the Torah, and therefore it's very important that we teach it to our children at the earliest possible age that they can possibly understand this. What does it mean by Kriya Shema? Kriya Shema Mahi, it doesn't mean all three parashos, it means Pasuk Rishon. It means you should try to teach your child to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and Baruch Shem Kol Machzor Yom Ved. That's really called the first Pasuk of the Kriya Shema. And that is the first thing that you should teach a child to say as soon as he's capable of doing so. And of course, you go through life, and you, it's Hashem, you learn more and you say more every single day. Now the Gemara continues and says, Hayodea Lishmor Gufo, if a child is capable of watching his body from coming into contact with Tumah, as Rashi says, Lishmor Gufo means Mitumas Maga Umaso V'Ohel. The child is of a sufficient age, whatever that age may be. It's usually this age is about 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, depends on the child. Chanoch l'nar al pidarko, every child is different. But the child has reached the age where he understands you can't go into the cemetery, and you can't go into the funeral parlor, and you can't go and touch the dead shratzim, etc. So if he's reached that age that he doesn't do that, so then, hayodeh lishmar gufo, so ochlin al gufo taharos. Even if his body were to have come into contact with taharos, so we can presume his body is tar, because the child is older enough to know or be able to tell us that yes, I didn't or I did touch Tahara Tumah, and therefore the Taros are going to be Tahar. And if he did touch Tumah, obviously then the Taros would be Tumah if they touched his body. Okay. If he's old enough, Lishmor Es Yodav, that's a higher level of age. You know, to know that your body didn't come into contact with something is different than knowing your hands. Your hands are Yadayim Askani Yosem. You need a higher level to know what your hands are doing. So if the person, the child is of the age that he can state for certain that I didn't touch something with my hands, so then Ochlin Al Yodav Taros. So then even if he touched Taharos just with his hands, so then we can say for certain that the Taros, if he says that my hands were Tahar, so then the Taros are Taharos as well. Hayodeh Lishol, if the child is old enough that you can go and ask him, did you or did you not touch something? So then we have the regular rules of Tumah and Tara applicable here. So we have a rule, Birshus HaYochid Sveiko Tomei. By anybody, an adult, if he's not sure, did he or did he not touch something, and it was in a Rishus HaYochid, so then Sveiko Tomei. We go L'chumra in that situation, and this is based upon the Halachos of Sota. Birshus HaRabim, but if it's a Sofik Tumah, Birshus HaRabim, so then the rule is Sveiko Tar. So this applies to a young child as well, as long as the child is old enough, Hayodeh Lishol, if he's intelligent enough to know and be able to answer you, yes, I did, or yes, I didn't, or he can state that I don't know, so then these rules apply. Hayadeh Lifros Kapov, if the child is old enough that he can duchen, right? Lifros Kapov is for a child who's a Kohen, that he's of the age that he knows how to duchen. So then in that situation, Cholkin lo Truma bebeis hagronos, then you're allowed to go and give him, distribute to him Truma. He's entitled to go and take Truma in that situation. And we do this in the Beis HaGronos, in the storehouses. Now, Rashi brings down, Umikamehochi, before this age, Ein Cholkin lo begorin, you're not allowed to go and give him in the Gorin. However, Abu Mishagrin lo lebeiso, but you would be allowed to send to him on his behalf, Im Yodeh l'shomer b'tare, as long as he's able to go and maintain that Truma in Tahara. And Rashi brings down, this is based upon Gemara's elsewhere. The reason why, that if they're younger, that we only send it to the house is because it's a bizoyon. Rashi says that you should be cholek publicly if they're of such a young age. However, if they've reached an age where they gduchen, so then it's not such a bizoyon. We turn to Membeis Amibeis. The Baisa continues, Hayodeya lishchot. If a child is old enough that he knows how to do a shchita, so then ochlin mishchitaso. If he did a kosher shchita, you can go and eat from that shchita. It is kosher. But Rav Huna adds, Amar Rav Huna, v'husha gadol omer agabav. You need to have a mumche standing over him. You need to have a gadol standing over him to make sure that the shchita was done properly. But if the mumcha who observed him saw that the shchita was done properly, so the child is considered a bar das, if he knows how to shecht and he shechts properly, so then that shchita is a kosher shchita. The Braisa continues, Yochol lecho kizayis dogon. Once a child is able to eat a kizayis' worth of grain, so then his excrement, his discharges from his body, take upon adult status, and that means that you're not allowed to daven within the presence of such excrement. Marchikin mitso oso, you have to distance yourself from his excrement, from its soa, umimeme raglov, and from his urine, arba amos, before you're allowed to daven. And this assumes that there is no smell. If there's an odor, then you have to distance yourself until there is no odor. But if there is no odor, or there's something blocking you from the odor, so then you just have to distance yourself the Dalet Amos, but this is only for the excrement or the urine of a child that is old enough to eat a kizayis of dogon. And Rav Chista adds to that, Amar Rav Chista, v'hush yochel ochlo b'chdei achilas pras. This kizayis of dogon has to be eaten within the time period of a k'dei achilas pras, again, somewhere between 2 and 10 minutes, different poskim, different amounts, the machlokas, whether it's 3 kibetzim or 4 kibetzim's worth this achilas pras. In any event, that has to be eaten within a certain amount of time. Once the child reaches that level of age and maturity that he can eat that much dagon, in k'sayis dagon, in a certain period of time, so then his body has matured to a certain point that the excrement and the urine that comes out of him is going to have the halachic status of being excrement and urine of an adult, and you have to distance yourself from that. Furthermore, Amar Rav Chiya b'Rei d'Rav Yehuda, Rav Chiya, who was the son of Rav Yehuda, said, "Ubegadol afu pishen yochol lechol b'chdei achilas pras." But once you're a gadol, so then let's say you have some sort of an eating disorder. You have you can't eat a kizayis of grain within a certain period of time. So that doesn't allow you to revert back to having the status of being a katan in regards to your waste products. Dechsib, because the pasuk says, "V'yosif das yosif machov." This is the very end of the first parak of Koheles. We're going to learn it pretty soon on Sukkos, and it tells us that when a person reaches a certain das, in other words, a certain age, so then Yosef Machov, so then he has additional pains, so to say, which means that he now has the status of being an adult no matter what. And Rashi says this Machov is referring to Masriach. In other words, his excrement is going to have the halachic status of excrement, even though he physically at this point in time no longer can eat a kizayis b'chdei achilas pras. Then the Gemara concludes and says, "Yochol lecho kizayis sli." If the child is able to go eat a kizayis of roast meat, so then he can be included in the Korban Pesach shchita, shochtin alav es a Pesach, because the pasuk says, "Shenema ish lufi ochlo," that you go and shecht people and include them in the Korban Pesach as long as they can be lufi ochlo, which means that they have to be able to go and eat a kizayis in order for them to be, quote, included in that Korban Pesach. Now, even somebody that can't eat kizayis can be included, but you need to have a certain minimal number of people in order to go and have a Korban Pesach. We had the whole discussion whether it could be one person, whether it has to be at least two people. And if you wanted to include this person to make sure that you have a kizayis for everybody, so then they have to be able to eat a kizayis in order to be included in those numbers. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Omer, ach yochel levorer achila. He says that it is not simply the fact that he has to be able to eat a kizayis of tzli, but he has to be able to differentiate between what is considered a food and what is not considered a food, right? Little children, they put anything in their mouth, they'll eat a rock. So, therefore, Rav Yehuda says, Ach yochel levorer achila, he has to be able to distinguish between what is considered food and what is not considered food. For example, ketzad, nosen lo tzror, if the child is old enough and you give him a rock, mizarku, he's going to throw the rock away, he's not going to eat it. Or if you give him eggos, but if you give him a walnut, the notlo, he will go and eat it. So then the child is old enough to be included in the Korban Pesach to designate a kizayis form of tzli. So that is also a factor according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Tosus points out that we specifically say for this din that it has to be roasted meat. Tosus points out in Dira Masel Yochel, he says, Yesh Yochel Lecho Kizayis Mevushel, there are those people that are able to eat the softer, cooked meat, the Enu Yochel Lecho Kizayit Sli, but they can't eat roasted meat. So for this din, Misharim Bitzli, since the Korban Pesach has to be roasted, we use the specific eating of a kizayis of roasted meat, Lefisha Dino Shel Pesach Sli, because the Korban Pesach must be roasted, so therefore the fact that he can eat a softer type of cooked meat is irrelevant for the din that he must be able to eat a kizayis of Sli to be included, Shchotin Olav Es HaPesach. Hadron Lecha Lulav HaGozel, Hadron Lecha Lulav HaGozel, Hadron Alecha Lulav HaGozel. This concludes the beautiful third parak of Lulav HaGozel, and now we begin the beautiful fourth parak known as Lulav V'Yarova. And the Mishnah starts, Lulav V'Yarova Shisha V'Shiva. This Mishnah is going to tell us that there are certain practices, certain dinim on Sukkos for various mitzvahs that are not applicable the entire 7 days. In Eretz Yisrael, there were 7 days of Sukkos, and then you have Shmini Atzeres, which is an additional eighth day. And Sukkos is always referred to as Chag, and Shmini Atzeres is referred to as Shmini Atzeres. Atzeres is always the term that we use actually for Shavuos. So Chag specifically always refers to Sukkos, and Atzeres refers to Shavuos. Shmini Atzeres is, of course, Shmini Atzeres. In any event, the Mishnah tells us that the Lulav, the mitzvah of Lulav, and the mitzvah of the Arava were Noheg Shisha V'Shiva. Sometimes there were Noheg for 6 days, and sometimes there were Noheg for 7 days of Sukkos. Now, there is no mitzvah on Shmini Atzeres in Eretz Yisrael on the eighth day, which is not Sukkos, it's a separate Chag B'Fnei Atzmo called Shmini Atzeres. As opposed to HaHalel, the reciting of Halel, and the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, that's applicable all 8 days, Shmona. That's for the 7 days of Sukkos plus Shmini Atzeres. Then the mitzvah of sukkah, to sit in the sukkah, and nisa chamayim, to pour the water libations, which are unique, which we said previously was halacha l'moshe miSinai, to pour the water libations during sukkahs, that's knowing all 7 days of sukkahs, shiva. We'll see that some of these differences, obviously, are because of sukkahs is different than Shmini Atzeres, and some of them are different because of Shabbos and Yontif, maybe or maybe not being allowed to perform the mitzvah on Shabbos and Yontif. So the mitzvah of Sukkah, Nisach HaMayim, that's all 7 days of Sukkot, but it has nothing to do with Shmini Atzeres. And finally, the mitzvah to blow the Chalil, HaChalil, that is either 5 or 6 days, Chamisha V'Shisha Yomim, because you don't blow it on Shabbos and Yontif. So therefore, that's only blown on Chol HaMoed, and that's why sometimes it'll be 5 days and sometimes it'll be 6 days. And now the Mishnah itself is explaining these rules. It says them briefly outside, now we'll see them inside. Lulav Shiva, under what circumstances do we take the lulav all 7 days? Nowadays we don't do this, of course, because of the gzera that I keep on mentioning, Shema Yaviren and Dalal Amos Mishu Sarabim. He's not going to know how to do the nanuim, and you're going to take the lulav and carry it outside and ask the rabbi, what am I supposed to do? And therefore the rabbis made gzera to prevent you from forgetting that it's Shabbos and carrying it, so we never have to take the lulav 7 days. But in those days, when there was a mitzvah to go take the lulav and esrog on Shabbos, so then lulav could sometimes be for all 7 days. Lulav Shiva Ketzat. How would that occur? Yom Tov HaRishon Shol Chag Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. If the first day of Sukkot was Shabbos, so then there was a mitzvah to go and take the lulav Midyaraisa even on Shabbos, the first day. So that's how you could take the mitzvah of lulav 7 days. In that situation, lulav Shiva. But if Shabbos was not the first day of Sukkot, so then it's only at Midrabanan, Zecha L'Churban, that we go take it, and there the rabbi said, don't go and take the lulav on Shabbos. So Shabbos Chol HaMoed, we don't take the lulav. Ushar Kol HaYom Shisha. So if the first day of Sukkot is not Shabbos, so then the Shabbos of Sukkot, you wouldn't take the lulav. That's why sometimes the lulav is 7 days when Shabbos is the first day of Sukkot, and sometimes lulav is only 6 days when Shabbos is any day but the first day of Sukkot. We have the same rule for Rosh Hashanah, Lo Adu Rosh. The first day of Sukkot can never be Aleph, Dalet, or Vav, but it could be Shabbos. Okay. Arava, we said, is Shiva. The Arava is sometimes 6 days, sometimes 7 days. When is it 7 days? Shiva Ketzad. Again, same thing as with Lulav, but the opposite. The Lulav is the chiv to take it on the first day. The Arava, the real chiv, is to take it on the seventh day. So if the seventh day of Sukkot comes out on Shabbos, so Yom HaShviyi Shel Arava, Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, so then Arava Shiva. Then you would take the Arava every day. We do Hoshanas every single day, and the seventh day, even if it's Shabbos, we would do it. Ushar Kol HaYomim, but if the seventh day of Sukkot is not Shabbos, so in other words, Shabbos is one of the first 6 days, so then you don't take the Hoshana on that Shabbos, and therefore, Ushar Kol HaYomim Shisha, a year that the seventh day is not Shabbos, then you're only going to take the Arava for 6 days. The Mishnah continues and says, Mitzvahs Lulav Ketzad, when, and now we delete the word B'Shabbos, according to the Marshal, so when do we take the Mitzvah of Lulav? What are the parameters of taking the mitzvah of lulav? So the Mishnah tells us, Yom Tov HaRishon Shochag Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. In those days, when the first day of Sukkot was a Shabbos, they did take the lulav. Not like us today, but they did take the lulav on the first day when it was Shabbos. So what would they do? You're not allowed to go carry the lulav on Shabbos. You can't be over in Issa Deraisa of carrying it from your house, Rosh Hashayochid, and going through Rosh Hasharabim. So what would they do? Molichin es lulavim lahar habayis. They would go and bring their lulav to the har habayis. They used to take it in the base of Migdash on Shabbos, even in Chutz. The base of Migdash, the first day they would take it, so bring it to their shoes, Mistam as well. Molichin es lulavim lahar habayis, the chazonim mekabel mehen, and the people in charge of the har habayis, the chazonim, or like the gaboyim, in charge of the har habayis, so they would accept the lulav and esrog from everybody. And v'sodrin oson agabi itzdava, and they would go and line them up on some sort of a platform. And itzdava is a platform, and it would be ready for the people to go take it the next day. Baskenim, the older people, so they couldn't be as much absorbed in the crush of people, so Menichin Eshelem Balishka, the older people, so there wouldn't be such a stampede to go get the Lulav and Esrog, so the Gabayim would go and put their Lulav and Esrog in a special Lishka, and this way they wouldn't be so much involved in the crush of the crowd, running to get the Lulav and Esrog and Bezrizos on the first day Shabbos morning of Sukkot. Now, they would also tell everybody, listen, there's a mitzvah, l'kachtem lochem, but we can't guarantee that everybody's going to get their own lulav. So they would teach the people, the malamdim osam, to go and say, lomar, kol mi shemagia lulavi liyado harei hu lo b'matana. They would teach the people, like we said the other day, matana manatz lahachzir, that anybody who actually takes my lulav, I'm giving it over to them fully. And if everybody said this, so whichever lulav you get becomes lochem, becomes your lulav, and this way everybody is yotze. So kol mi shemagia lulavi liyado harei hu lo b'matana, and this way everybody is fulfilling l'kachtem lochem on the first day, because even though it may not have really been your lulav, but now it is, and therefore as long as it's now your lulav, you're yotze. So what happened? The next day, l'mocher, on Shabbos morning, first day of Sukkot, mashkimim, everybody would get up nice and early to rush to go do the mitzvah, uboyin, and they would come to the Beis HaMikdash, v'achazonim, zorkin, osam l'teim. The lulavs were all lined up on this itztaba, and the first guy who come, they throw him a lulav. The next guy who come, they throw him a lulav. The next guy who come, they throw him a lulav. They mechatu numakin ishes chaver. Everybody with their zeal to go grab a lulav would go and cause damage to each other. There was fighting. There was a stampede, and therefore, when the rabbi saw this, ukeshiro based in shaboli desakana, when they saw that this was becoming a dangerous situation, lahav de lelav havdalos. This is a Black Friday when people are going for the post Thanksgiving sales, and there are stampedes at the doors. People are waiting outside, rushing to get in. It's dangerous. So the rabbis were masaki in his skinu shei kolecha v'yechad. No tel beveso. Don't bring your lulav and esrog to the base of Mikdash. Go and take lulav and esrog in the privacy of your own house. This way, the stampede concerns, the tremendous amount of people all gathering together and crushing Rachmana Litzlan or hurting people wouldn't occur. That's the Mishnah. The Gemara starts off and says, Amai, what's the potential isser in bringing the lulav to the base of Mikdash on Shabbos? Are you telling me tiltul bi'almahu, the litche Shabbos? So the whole problem is muktza. What are you worried about over here that you're going to go and touch the lulav? You're saying the lulav is muktza? So tiltul bi'almahu, the litche Shabbos. So how would that be possible that you think that there's a potential aveira involved in taking the lulav on Shabbos? It's only a din the rabbanan of muktza, and certainly the mitzvah of taking it should override that. So Gemara says, I'm a rabbi. No, this was a gzera. This is the famous gzera that I'm alluding to. Oh, Baruch Hashem, we got to it at the end of today's share, not at the beginning of tomorrow's share. Gzera, Shema, Yitlenu, B'yodo. We're concerned that the people won't know how to do the nanuim. And the person's going to go and take the lulav in his hand. The Yelech Eitzel Baki is going to go to the local rav, the expert, Lomo, to teach him how to do the nanuim. As Rashi says, nanu o birchaso, either for teaching the nanuim or to teach him the bracha to make. He's not going to know the bracha. They're amaratzim. And therefore, we have the famous Gezerah of Yavirenu, Arba Amos, Rishus Arabim. He'll, by accident, forget that it's Shabbos, and he'll go carry it, Dalar Amos, in Rishus Arabim. And therefore, that's why the rabbi said that this is a situation where the potential takola is too great, and therefore, shave yaltasi. It would be better in this situation not to do the mitzvah. The rabbis have the ability to say, shave, sit, and don't do something. They don't have the ability to say, go against a losase and do something that it's forbidden to do, but they do have the ability to say, shave, don't do this mitzvah, altasi, shave yaltasi. And the Gemara says, behind the time of the shofar, this is the same reason why nowadays we don't blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos. Min HaDin, you're allowed to. And until even the times of the Rif, 1,000 years ago, they say that in the Beis Din of the Rif, they blew on Shabbos, because that's technically the Din. So by shofar as well, people would take the shofar on Shabbos and blow, because it's only at best, a skill. And therefore, it's not even really an issa d'rabbanan to blow the shofar on Shabbos. And technically, you could and should blow the shofar on Shabbos when it's Rosh Hashanah. However, the rabbis were concerned that a person is not going to know how to blow the shofar. He's not going to know how to do the blasts and what's the din of a shvarim versus a trua. And he's going to carry the shofar, dalet amos, which is a rabbi, to go to the rabbi to teach him how to blow it or to have the rabbi be motzi him. And similarly, v'hainu time of the Megillah. That's why we don't read Megillah on Purim that falls out on Shabbos, because we're concerned that the people don't know how to read the Megillah, and they're going to carry the Megillah, Dalet Amos Mishas Rabbim. Where it says, if this is so, Ihachi, so Yom Risho Nami. So then, how come the rabbis only said this for the final 6 days? They didn't say this for the first day. At least originally, they didn't say this for the first day. Why weren't they concerned about that? So Gemara says, Rishon hotokinu le'rabbanim uveiso, because the rabbi said, you do that in your own house. So once nobody's carrying it outside, there's less of a concern that people will go and forget themselves and carry it down the Amos Rishus Rabbim. So Gemara says, okay, great. So that's great after they made the takana, that not to bring it to the Beis HaKnesses, is not to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. Great. I understand that there's less of a concern. But called the takana before they made the takana, so everybody was carrying their lulav and esrog, so why did they not enact in that situation the gzeirah shema yavirenu dalet amos v'shus harabim? Michael and Amar, what are you going to say about that? So Gemara says, you're right. Ela rishon de'isim in HaTorah, as I've already pointed out, I gave you the answer before, that the first day, it's min HaTorah you're supposed to take the lulav and esrog, even in the gvulin and even in the Beis HaMikdash. So ela rishon de'isim in HaTorah b'gvulin, that on the first day, you're supposed to take it even in the gvulin midaraisa. So the rabbi said, we're not going to make gzeirah that's going to make you not fulfill this mitzvah daraisa. Albeit today, the rabbis have made that gezerah. Lo gazubu rabbanon, originally the rabbis didn't make such a gezerah. But hanach, for the other days, the less numinat Torah begulin, as we pointed out pretty in the previous Mishnah, that it's only mid the rabbanon, zechel churban, that the rabbis said, Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh said, go and take the lulav and esrog on days 2 through 7. So therefore, in that situation, on Shabbos, the rabbis were more concerned that it's only the rabbanon that they're fulfilling, and therefore the concern of Shem Yavirin, that allowed us to choose a rabbim, Gazru Behu Rabbanon. Therefore, the rabbis did in fact go and make such a gezeirah. Gemara says, Ihochi, if that's true, Hoyedanami. So then, even post the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, so how come the rabbis still let it be on the first day when it's a din daraisa? Even nowadays, post the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Meir Yemenu should be rebuilt, but nevertheless, right now, it's still a din daraisa to go take, even in the Gvulin, on the first day. So how come the rabbis don't let you go and take the Lulav and Esrog on the first day if it's Shabbos? Why do they institute Shema Yavirin and Dalai Amos, which is the Rabbim, which you're saying they only instituted in the case of the Rabbanim, but the first day is daraisa, and yet they instituted it? Why is that? So the Gemara says, because Anan lo yadinon b'kivua diyarcha, because of the famous rule that we don't really know for certain which day is Yontif, Sveika de Yoma. And therefore the rabbi said, since it's possible that it's not really Yontif today, maybe tomorrow was Yontif, so therefore they didn't institute the basic din of taking the lulav on the first day when it's Shabbos, because maybe today's not the first day. And therefore, because of Sveika de Yoma, the rabbi said, Shevi al Tase, because of Shema Yavirin, the Dalai Lama, which is a rabbi, when it may not really be a din d'oraisa, and therefore, better not to take it. Shevi al Tase. Gemara continues to question this and says, however, Inu the Yadeh B'Kiru the Yarcha Lidchu, but those people that didn't know, for example, those people living in Eretz Yisrael, they only celebrate one day. So they do know when the first day of Sukkot is, so they should go take it. But even in Eretz Yisrael, the din is that you don't take the lulav and esrog on the first day. Gemara says, no, Hanabi, you're right. In Eretz Yisrael, they should take the lulav on Shabbos on the first day. And I'll show you that this is right, because we seem to have a stira between two Mishnayos. So the Mishnayos say as follows, our Mishnah said, Toni Chodah b'yom tov rishon shel chag shechol yos b'Shabbos, when the first day of Sukkot is on Shabbos, our Mishnah said, kol ha'om molichen es lodeim l'harabais, they bring him to the harabais. And we have another Mishnah. Now this Mishnah we had also learned previously. It should be, we have the gears of the Tanya, but it really should be, the Mishnah Sasha says it should be Vitnan. This was a Mishnah we had previously. Vitnan, Idoch, Leves HaKnesses. And the other Mishnah said, you bring it to the Beis HaKnesses. Shema Mino, you see from here, Kam Bezman She Beis HaMikdash Kayim, Kam Bezman She Ein Beis HaMikdash Kayim. So we see that there is a difference over here. So when the Beis HaMikdash is Kayim, so then everybody certainly brought it to the Beis HaMikdash. And the second Mishnah said, even when there's a Beis HaKnesses, when Nebuch, the Beis HaMikdash is not Kayim, in Eretz Yisrael, when there's no Sveika de Yoma, you actually do go and take it on the first day of Sukkot. Bizman She'ein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, you still go and bring it. And therefore, Shema Minah, this is a good proof that in fact, in those days, originally, in Eretz Yisrael, even post-destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the rabbis did not institute on the first day because of there was no Sveika de Yoma, so they really knew it was a din daraisa to go take it, so the rabbis didn't institute their gezeira de rabbanon of Shema Yavirin and Dalai Lamos b'shus harabim in that scenario. Again, halacha lemaisa, nowadays, that was enacted, and we do not take, we say Shevi al Tase, both for the shofar, as well as for the lulav. And Yitzhak Hashem, we'll see more about this in tomorrow's shir. With that, we conclude today's shir.